let's start talking about the new project, which is the money now will be going toward fracking oil wells, correct?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. So the new project is a repurposing of some of the $66.4 million that was originally appropriated. It's not new funds, but it's a repurposing of part of that. And the idea is to incentivize the completion of what we call duck wells, wells that have been drilled for some time but have been left uncompleted because of the low oil price. And we want to incentivize about 80 of those wells between now and the end of the year in order to stabilize North Dakota's production at the current levels so we can keep tax revenues flowing, we can keep jobs out there, get people off unemployment.
How does that relate to wells that have been shut in so far?
Yeah, so when you look at the numbers, we've got about 850 of these duck wells. At one point in time, we had over 7,500 wells shut in. That number has come down dramatically to where it's less than 1,000 wells now that are shut in. And so we've seen, as prices got above $35 a barrel, West Texas, it was economic to put those wells back on production, almost all of them. And so we've seen those wells come back on. We've seen production rise now to about 1.2 million barrels a day, maybe 1.3. I think we're more at the 1.2 level. And so the price that it takes, though, to complete a duck well is $10 higher. It requires about $45 a barrel, West Texas. And then the price that it takes to put drilling rigs back to work, actually drilling new wells for most of the Bakken, is about $55 per barrel. So wells that were shut in started to come back at $35 a barrel. Wells that have been drilled but left uncompleted, we're still not there. There's so much oil in storage around the world that the price just can't really get above that $41 level on any given day.
But the thing that reaches out to me is that we do have wells ready to be fracked, and there are a number of wells. It seems like a pretty good little bank account there, perhaps.
Right. That's a great point, Dave. And we've had Justin Kringsted with the Pipeline Authority do an analysis. He says that at least half of those duck wells will be economic to complete at $45 oil. So we have a bank account, wells already drilled but left uncompleted. If all those wells are completed, that gives us the capacity to keep our production stable for maybe 18 months, even in the absence of drilling rigs going back to work. We think that by this time next year, the price will be high enough to sustain fracking duck wells or completing duck wells on its own with no incentive, and that within the following year, by this time 2 years out, prices should have recovered enough that drilling rigs will go back to work.
What kind of response have you had from industry about the interest in using this incentive to get wells completed?
We've had great response. So it's been mixed. The very large publicly traded oil companies all responded by saying, wow, we've already set our budgets for the remainder of this year and next year. We just can't pivot that quickly to use this money in November and December of 2020. But we're fortunate. We've got about 35% of the wells in North Dakota are operated by what we consider small to medium-sized independents. They're not publicly traded. They get their money from venture capital funds, not from stock, and they're able to move very quickly. So we polled those companies. We've now got five now of those companies now that have lined up and said, we think we got 67 of these wells that we can commit to completing in November and December. So our goal is 80. We're pretty sure we got 67 already lined up.
Not bad. More than two-thirds at this point.
Correct. Yes.
So when you're talking about a frac crew, how many jobs are we talking about?
Great question. And so you're talking about supporting 100 full-time jobs. Now, not every one of those people work for the company who's actually performing the hydraulic fracture job. Probably about a third of them are actually, you know, moving that iron and running those big diesel engines to pump the water and the sand. But there's a whole another group of people that deliver diesel fuel. Those trucks run 24 hours a day for 5 to 10 days out there pumping one of these frac jobs. And so there's actually at least two people that do nothing but haul diesel fuel to that frac job to keep the trucks running. Water is hauled, lay flat pipe is put on the ground. There's a flowback crew that has to come in and flow the frac fluid back out of the well. There's truckers delivering the sand. So all in all, each frac crew puts 100 people to work. And when we look at the September 2020 unemployment statistics out there in the oil patch, they're pretty startling. So these jobs are badly needed. We think we're going to put somewhere between 650 and 1,200 people back to work.
And putting them back to work kind of lessens the pressure on our unemployment fund at that point.
It does, Dave. When you think about it, if they remain on unemployment, they're going to draw that fund down. If we put them back to work, they're going to be paying into that fund. And so it's a huge net positive for WSI and for the unemployment. And, you know, we're seeing numbers in Williams County above 10% unemployment, which is, you know, five times what the statewide average is. So I think the good news from that standpoint is that the school enrollments haven't dropped. We don't have a massive surge of moving trucks leaving the area. So the people are still there. They still want to work in the North Dakota oil patch. We just need to get them working through November and December. And then some of the jobs that we're going to generate are 30 to 40-year jobs. So every one of these wells that gets completed creates 1.5 to 2 production jobs that will last for 30 or 40 years. So there's some real long-term benefit to this two-month surge.
I'm curious, how long does it take normally to frack a well, to complete the frack process?
Great question. And so an individual well in today's world with 50 to 60 frack stages and 200,000 to 250,000 barrels of water, 10 million pounds of frack sand going in, the record is about 5 days. It runs anywhere from 5 to 10 days. So the crews are constantly changing out. They typically run 12-hour shifts. And so you got two of everybody. And so they'll be out there 24 hours a day for as much as 10 days on that location.
And you're talking 67 wells, so there's a lot of work to do yet.
There's a tremendous amount of work to do. And when you look at a modern Bakken well, based on the numbers that we've been seeing in the cases that are presented to us, the drilling part of the well cost is about $2.5 to $3 million. The frack job itself is about $5 million. So the bulk of the money goes into the completion of the well. One of the huge benefits of this project is that everything except the water is subject to sales tax, and so all of that other stuff that goes into the ground other than the water is subject to sales tax. And we're anticipating generating around $11 million in sales tax.
So you've got that. You've got sales to WAS, as you mentioned during the budget section meeting, that there's a few ways this is going to help and help our bottom line as we try to recover from this pandemic.
Absolutely. And so this is going to ripple through the local economies out there in a very big way. Of course, the state gets a share of that sales tax, but so does the local county and the city and all of that. WAS is very important to our western North Dakota communities in terms of their local water supply. And with the downturn, it hasn't been easy for WAS. This looks like it could generate $2 million in revenue for WAS, which will greatly benefit that project and keep it moving forward. On top of that, these 80 wells are going to generate millions and millions of dollars of production and extraction tax, and that goes to every single citizen in North Dakota. That goes into water projects, it goes into the schools, it goes into the cities and the counties, and we're even going to be able to put some money into the Prairie Dog budget for infrastructure if we can get these 80 wells completed. You know, we weren't expecting much to flow in there with what's happened to production, but if we can maintain 1.2 to 1.3 million barrels a day, we're going to get some money into that bucket.
You're pretty confident that this is going to maintain that level, correct?
Yes. That's really the second purpose of this project. Number one purpose is put people to work, get them off unemployment, get them out there working. But the number two purpose of this is that this surge in well completions has the potential to carry us through with sustained 1.2 million barrel a day production all the way through the middle of next year, at which time we think oil prices will have recovered to the point that fracking of duck wells, completing of duck wells will sustain itself.
And of course, that you're kind of, that's your forecast into the future. You know, if everything goes the way it's supposed to be going, I guess.
Yes, that's absolutely right. If things, in the absence of this incentive, we're really only anticipating about 25, maybe 30 wells a month to be completed. That means that by the end of this fiscal year, we're back down below 1.1 million barrels a day. We're pushing the 1 million barrel a day mark and dropping. And of course, once that curve tips over and starts down on a natural decline, it's a huge amount of work to reverse that. So maintaining that flat curve until we see some price recovery is going to be fantastic. Now, we are going to add some downward pressure to the oil market because that's 200,000 barrels a day that wouldn't be on the market, that will now, that we anticipate. But OPEC is holding back 9 million barrels a day. So 200,000 barrels versus 9 million is not a really significant amount. That's the oil that's in storage, and the OPEC plus production restrictions are what really is going to determine 2021-2022 oil prices.
Now, this money, of course, is repurposed, as you mentioned, from the original $66 million from the CARES Act, which was to go to reclamation of oil wells. How far did you get on the project?
Well, that project's going really well, Dave, and I'm glad you asked that question. So phase one of that project was to plug somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 orphan wells. We're on well number 160 today. So we're out of, as it turns out, the current number, it's a little bit fluid because some operators are plugging wells themselves and taking care of things. So the current number is 360 wells. We're plugging well number 160 today. So we're just about halfway there, and we're about halfway into the project. So we're really happy that first $33 million, we're very confident we're going to get that spent this year, and we're going to get those wells plugged. Now, we're only on reclamation site number 49. I think we're going to add number 50 before the end of the week. But that leaves us with a lot of reclamation work that, because of winter coming, we're not going to be able to complete. We think that we'll get, at best, half of the reclamation work done this year, and the other half, about 174 sites, is going to roll over into next year. That'll have to be done in the spring and fall of next year. And that's where the $16 million comes from then. We were given $33 million for plugging wells and another $33 million for reclaiming sites. We're going to spend the plugging money, but the site reclamation, we're only going to be able to spend about half of it. So we came up with the idea through the Bakken Restart Task Force of repurposing most of that other half into some other kind of jobs project for Western North Dakota. And that's where the duck well incentive came from.
So then you do expect that the $66 million is going to be spent by the deadline, which I think is December 31, correct?
That's right. Midnight of December 30, the money has to be spent. And so our expectation is that we'll spend the $66 million by that deadline, especially by repurposing this and the fact that we've already got 67 out of 80 duck well commitments.
I'm curious, though, going forward, do you think that this reclamation project might have some legs beyond the CARES money?
Dave, I do. We've got about $26 million in the Abandoned Well Site Restoration Fund, and we've committed a significant amount of that, $8 million over the next 5 years, to the old brine pond situation that developed in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So we've set that aside, and that's where that's going to go. But we've got the money to reclaim the other half of the sites next year. And we're actually working with Congress, Congressman Armstrong and Congresswoman Torres Small from New Mexico have sponsored a bill to take our type of program nationwide. Through the Department of Interior, they are introducing a bill that would provide $25 million per state in grant money to do exactly what we're doing in North Dakota with the CARES Act money. People took a look at this and said, this is a way for us to get ourselves out of the orphan well program problem, I should say, the orphan well problem that we have nationwide. And of course, North Dakota with only 400 is super, super small. Many states have thousands of these kind of wells and sites that need to be plugged and reclaimed. So they're looking at a multi-year program, 5 or 10 years, of up to $25 million per state to do this type of program in North Dakota as well as other states. I'd like to, you know, just add one more point, and that is that we're only incentivizing about 40 to 50% of the water acquisition and disposal costs. So we arrived at that number with the idea that we want to encourage operators to be conservative with the amount of water that they use in these completions, to try to reduce the amount and get a greater benefit out of the $200,000 incentive. So we didn't want to just offer to pay whatever they wanted to spend on water. We wanted to provide an incentive for them to be conservative. And then the last thing is that this industry that provides the completion water and disposes of the water when it comes back from the frac treatment is a local North Dakota industry. These are North Dakota citizens who own these businesses, and they will be providing the water and they will be disposing of the flowback water. So there are additional jobs that we're going to stimulate. And I've gotten some thank you emails from some of the disposal companies saying it's been a very hard year. We're looking forward to disposing of the fluid that comes from these CARES Act duck completions.
All right. I have to ask the follow-up question. Where does that water go that has been disposed of? Where do you put it?
Great question. So we are blessed with a geologic formation. We typically call it the Dakota. It's actually specifically the Inyankara formation. It exists statewide, even extends into Montana and South Dakota. And so it's brine water that's in that geologic formation right now. And so we put all of our waste brine into that formation. We got a few spots where the pressure is rising in that formation, but for the most part, it's got virtually unlimited capacity to accept this wastewater. And so it's going into the Inyankara formation. It's located about 5,000 to 6,000 feet below the surface. It is separated from our drinking water sources by 2,500, about a half a mile of bentonite shale. So we're blessed with almost the perfect disposal formation for underground injection of our wastewater.